The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings and a big welcome to today's episode of Climate Matters, which will be a Climate Matters special. I'm Lindsay Wood, the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. I'm also happy that it's broadcast out across Canterbury on Plains Media and to the Wairarapa on Arrow FM. Now, I mentioned today's is a special, and it's actually a special on our new methane targets. A little bit of a backstory. I think last week I mentioned how we were in catch-up mode with all the interviews we've been doing and everything, and this is going to make us more in catch-up because I'd be recording Climate Matters number 141 now, but because this is so topical, I've skipped that, and we'll have that in a couple of weeks. And I'm doing this methane target special. But there is a little bit of a backstory because Climate Matters 141 actually had a small piece on methane, and it was in the direction that data from Stats New Zealand pointed out the folly of the no additional warming approach. I'd written that not knowing that about 4 or 5 days later the government was going to drop its updated methane targets. Anyway, let's get into it. Here's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about basically an outline of it. I want to give a personal message to the farming community because discussions on methane can easily touch nerves, and I want to, if you like, hand out an olive branch there. Then I'll go over why is rapidly cutting methane critically important. I'm wanting to say a bit about what I've called the deceptive innocence of, quotes, no additional warming, close quotes. A bit about backtracking on the world stage and how I think actually farmers as a farming community are being insulted by a lot of the things going on at the political level. Might the Prime Minister and Minister for Climate plead ignorance and deserve the benefit of the doubt? Anyway, so let's get into Climate Matters special dealing with the methane targets. It's a long read. There isn't anything else going on here. There's no diagrams to talk about. It's just a discussion of policy and the background to the policy. Cutting methane rapidly is crucially important. I'll go into that a bit more in a minute. To give us just an outside chance of giving us a livable future. And our government's approach to that is, I have said, irresponsible. A lot has already been written on this month's methane targets, often by people more qualified than me, but I'm just putting my glimpses into what I find a disturbingly murky landscape and me joining the dots that I've come across or that I form connections with. So just a very quick summary on the new targets. I have called rotten mutton dressed up as lamb. When in Climate Matters 141, this is what I was just talking about, I wrote Stats New Zealand shows the inequity of no additional warming. I was unaware the government was poised to announce its latest targets. It soon transpired the targets were even more feeble than most of us had feared. So on the 12th of October, the government put out a press release, which we'll give a link to. There'll be a lot of links in the program notes on the Climate Matters webpage, a press release that announced, I'm quoting, the target will be set at a range of 14 to 24% below 2017 levels by 2050. It's a whisker over half of the then current range of 24 to 47%. And that range also aligns with New Zealand's 2019 Zero Carbon Act, which itself was a cross-party act. National and Labour and the other minor parties, I think except for ACT, all signed up to that. In spite of the impression the government press release tries to convey, the adopted range is actually serious out of step, both with widely held scientific opinion and with some of New Zealand's own obligations. However, I did say I wanted to put out some comments to the farming community. So I understand that this discussion may touch the odd nerve. I want to impress on you that I'm A, not trying to bag farmers, and B, I'm keen to have a discussion, not a slagging match. I've got huge respect for farmers. Those I've known, and I'm old enough to have known quite a few, are as fine a bunch as I could hope to meet. So I'm not trying to write from an anti-farmer stance, but I am writing against stacking the political pack in a way that has bypassed overwhelming expert opinion on climate. It's also set emissions targets that disadvantage almost every Kiwi not in the ag sector. And dare I say it, I think it's also duped the farming community into thinking that they or you are somehow winning with strategies that will just make us all bigger losers in the long run. It might be a very short-term win for a few people, but overall, it's very bad news. Farmers know only too well the harsh impacts of the likes of Cyclone Gabrielle or the recent Tasman storms we've had here, or extreme droughts. And actually, as I was writing this, most of the East Coast was under life-threatening red wind warnings. We can all remember those. And the power was out to almost 100,000 homes. That's not all yet been restored as I'm recording this. But because of prolonged obfuscation by vested interests here as well as around the world, and including, I venture to say, behind the new methane targets, those events, like the big climate impacts I'm talking about, those events are mere curtain raisers for what's in the pipeline. Had the global climate effort not been so severely hampered by obstruction like that and paltering and misinformation and so on, we might now be hauling ourselves out of the climate crisis swamp, and instead we're still careering headlong into it. And a final heartfelt comment to farmers. Do you realise what a gross injustice the latest methane targets have bestowed on you, or how they've insulted the standing, in my view, of the farming community? The farmers I've known don't hesitate to put their shoulders to the wheel. They take great pride in their willingness to do the hard yards in times of need. I was listening to Country Life just the other day, and this would have been last Friday, which was the last Friday of October. And the woman being interviewed there was talking about the hard times from all the wind damage. Well, we just get down and we do it and we look out for each other. That approach really fits well with our national commitment under the Paris Agreement. And that commitment is to pursue our own decarbonisation and targets that represent, and I'm quoting, our highest possible ambition. Now, if we dial into the government's 12th of October press release, the one that announced the methane targets, on the one hand, it announced targets meant to represent our highest possible ambition, and it stated them as 14 to 24% below 2017 levels by 2050. But on the other hand, it also said in the same press release, with the uptake of imminent technologies, and I'm quoting, total agricultural emissions could reduce by between 7 to 14% over the next decade. And I'm still quoting, that's on top of any reduction in emissions that may come from efficiency gains on farm or changes to farm systems. Let's just join the dots between those two, because that frames as a real possibility meeting the target in just 10 years of the 25 years that the methane targets are set out to 2050. To my mind, that's a bit like framing farmers and as saying that their highest possible ambition is reaching morning smoko and then claiming that's the end of a hard day's work. 10 years into 25 years is not even getting to the halfway point. I have a much higher opinion of our farming community than that, and I think the farming community deserves a better political background and political motivation than is being given. Okay, farmers, please bear with me. I've got a lot to cover. I do feel for you in all of this. I'm not suggesting it's easy or light, even though I've made that Smoko reference, it's still hard, but this is a hard issue we're trying to deal with. So why is rapidly cutting methane so critically important? Human-caused emissions are still accelerating the overheating of our planet and pushing it into truly alarming territory. If you're not sure about that, then please check out a report that we'll give a link to called the 2024 State of the Climate Report, Perilous Times on Planet Earth. It's written by 14 international climate experts and it's published by the Oxford University Press. So it's got a pretty good pedigree. And there's also a one-page summary that I've attached at the end of the hard copy. Humanity is currently losing the race to slow global overheating before it's totally too late. It really is a very serious situation. And slashing human-emitted methane, which causes some 30% of that overheating, is a standout opportunity to buy time we so desperately need. Of the four major greenhouse gases that are known as anthropogenic gases, carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, methane, and the fluorinated F gases, only methane is a short-lived gas, abating rapidly once emissions cease. That's very important. The others, except for just a few of the many F gases, take centuries or millennia to abate. And even if we stopped emitting them immediately, those already in the air from past emissions would remain overheating our planet for generations. That's why we have to stop emitting them as well. But quickly after methane emissions are cut, equivalent atmospheric methane dies away, and it takes its contribution to global warming with it as it goes. So slashing methane emissions is far and away our best bet for reducing short-term global warming at scale and at speed. And do we ever need scale and speed? This is signaled over and over in leading reports on the climate, but is ignored by the new methane policy. Now I want to go into what I call the deceptive innocence of, quotes, no additional warming, close quotes, because that is the underpinning basis of the new methane targets. We need to be clear, first of all, that greenhouse gases represent pollution. The carbon dioxide that comes out of vehicles' exhaust pipe is actually a pollutant in the atmosphere. No additional warming in regard to methane, in essence, claims the right to continue polluting with methane at present levels. In 2023, the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, that's Simon Upton, called out Fed Farmers and Beef and Lamb and Dairy NZ. He wrote to them explaining that in a submission they'd just sent to the Climate Change Commission, they'd made false claims about their research covering new ground, and they'd ignored an important statement made by their own researchers. Again, we'll put a link to the PCE's letter. I'm going to quote from it. Bearing in mind, he said they've made false claims about the research covering new ground. Quoting, "This is not new science," Simon Upton wrote, "and it leaves us exactly as I had previously stated the position to be, that was in 2018, namely that the sustained contribution to atmospheric warming that New Zealand makes through the emission of agricultural methane is a matter of choice, and choosing to maintain this warming at the current level is to claim a right to a certain level of warming from agriculture indefinitely." That's like claiming an ongoing right to pollute. Upton then noted that the ag sector's own researchers in the report, the industry groups that had prepared, their own researchers had stated, and I'm quoting, "The reduction of agricultural methane represents the greatest opportunity to reduce New Zealand's contribution to warming." Upton then lamented this important policy-relevant finding was buried in an appendix to an appendix in your submission to the Climate Change Commission. You're being fed farmers, beef and lamb, and dairy NZ. Again, we see that farmers are indirectly being insulted by their own lobby groups in a regime where we're internationally committed to exercising our highest possible ambition. The lobby groups promoted course of action contrary to the important policy-relevant finding of their own researchers, and in doing so, turned their backs on the greatest opportunity to reduce New Zealand's contribution to warming. That is appalling. Lest we think that stance is a one-off of aberration, fed farmers, and I want to say, please don't confuse them with farmers as individuals. I think the political arm of the of any sector doesn't it deserves to be separated out from the individuals who often have a very different approach. But they have a long history of denying or downplaying climate change. I can cite 2007 when the global warming response spokesperson said that climate change didn't exist and was just a political ploy. And in 2014, that was just the year before the Paris Agreement was signed, the President William Rolson told Radio New Zealand listeners that fed farmers has no opinion on whether climate change is even real. I mentioned before about backtracking on the world stage. It's one thing for industry lobby groups to be pushing for a self-centered position that isn't in the public's best interests, but quite another for it then to be enshrined in government policy. So how come our legislative checks and balances didn't filter out such skewed advocacy? Well, in short, because the present government was, is, so closely aligned with the farming lobby that it chose to ignore the legislated checks and balances, especially, but not only, in the form of its legislated climate advisory group, the Climate Change Commission. So what did the government do? It didn't like the Commission's 2024 advice, so bypassed it by establishing a methane advisory panel. And one of the things I'd noticed in Climate Matters 141, which you haven't yet heard about on this radio station because it's not yet recorded, that panel was set up with terms of reference that in essence ring-fenced the conclusions of the panel so tightly that it yielded a so-called science-based review in just about the narrowest sense you can imagine science. It was basically a terms of reference to say, please give us a number, don't give us advice. And one of them, and part of the terms of reference, actually excluded the panel from making any other conclusions or recommendations. So, for example, it precluded this panel from exactly the sort of comment that the ag lobby's own researchers had made. That was the reduction of agricultural methane represents the greatest opportunity to reduce New Zealand's contribution to warming. It would be interesting to know if the review panel also considered making a pertinent comment. The smaller the methane targets, the larger must be the reductions of other greenhouse gases in other sectors in order for our national effort to align with the Paris Agreement, i.e. passing the buck to the other sectors. But passing the buck doesn't end just with those methane targets. New Zealand is also a signatory to the Global Methane Pledge. This is what the pledge states. Participants joining the pledge agree to take voluntary actions to a collective effort to reduce global methane emissions at least 30% from 2020 levels by 2030. This is a global, not a national, reduction target. So once again, caving into the pressure of the farming lobby, the government has allowed our farmers to be cast as bludgers on the world stage, leaving other countries to do the hard yards so we can meet our insipid methane target and pack our bags at smoko time. That's not the attitude farmers bring, it's the attitude this government is bringing. Good grief, the high end of our new official 2050 target doesn't even come close to the pledge's level of emissions reduction by 2030. It's not hard to agree with what Simon Upton also wrote, quoting, industries that claim leadership on this issue, as New Zealand's agricultural sector does, have to show that the target they support is consistent with that. We're running through time, so I better keep going. Might the Prime Minister and Minister plead ignorance and deserve the benefit of the doubt? Yeah, nah. There is an ongoing stream of highly authoritative reports giving consistent messaging on the importance of rapidly cutting methane emissions. I don't have time to read all of this, but I referenced the UN, United Nations IPCC milestone reports in 2023 saying, giving emissions reduction targets, and also stating strong and rapid sustained reductions in methane emissions can limit near-term warming. I referenced before a report, the 2024 State of the Climate Report by 14 internationally acclaimed scientists. And that report says drastically cutting methane emissions can slow the near-term rate of global warming, helping to avoid tipping points and extreme climate impacts. The Minister and Prime Minister know about that report because I was a signatory to a letter that sent it to them. In June this year, a leading EU environmental programme came down with similar conclusions. If the world were to rapidly act on carbon dioxide and methane emissions, we could halve the rate of warming. And finally, you may recall in June, the Prime Minister and Minister of Climate Change had no excuse because they were written to directly by 26 world authorities in the field. And I'll give a link to their letter, and the letter said that it was written to warn against adopting a new methane target based on the goal of achieving no additional warming. And the letter closed with this statement: adopting targets consistent with no additional warming ignores the scientific advice. It implies that current methane emissions levels are acceptable. They are not. So I will have to conclude it there. I can't say anything kind about our cabinet that approved these targets. I can't say much kind about the farming lobbies either. I'm sorry, turning their back on critical advice from their own sector. So thank you if you're still listening. Thank you for running through with me. If you want to comment, please do so. Lindsay, that's Lindsay, at resilience, resilienz.co.nz. So thank you for joining me this week. Next week will be an interview, and then following that, Climate Matters 141. And in the meantime, of course, as always, kia kaha for the climate. Well, as you know, you're listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson-Tasman region on 104.8. And it's streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz. Podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.